A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the show. It is Matt Slick Live. It's a nice Friday. It's the 29th of May, 2020, for the podcasters later on. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And, you can give me a call. And let you guys know, we're working on the forums. We're going to be moving the forums to a new place. It won't be for a few weeks, but we are doing that and trying to get everything going, and along with the schools and some other stuff. So there's a lot going on at CARM. And if you want to check us out, all you got to do is go to carm.org, carm.org, and you can check out the website. For those who might be new to the show, not sure what this is a Christian-oriented talk show kind of a thing. People call up and ask questions, and we talk. Sometimes we argue, and it does happen. So if you want to give me a call, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. All right, let's just jump on the lines. Let's get to John from North Carolina. John, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. I was listening yesterday about, you said you studied out a certain version. I was wondering what certain version of Bible you studied on.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I study out of the New American Standard Bible, and then I go to the Greek. So I prefer it.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me? Are you there?
Okay, you broke up a little bit. Yeah, I'm good now. Wait, what version was?
Yeah, I prefer the New American Standard Version because I want something as literal to the original language as possible. I learned a long time ago, years ago, that that God has the Word written in certain ways for reasons, and that what we need to do is trust Him at His Word. And so I know that sometimes people have difficulty with different versions and understanding some of the aspects of the Bible. But if you really want to study and you want to become knowledgeable in the Word of God and have some good theology, you want a better translation. So I go with the NASB. And if people don't really like that, that's okay. NASB, New King James is good, and also the ESV. And those are the three I'd recommend. You can get a good understanding of what the original means through those. So that's what I'd recommend.
Okay, thank you. All right.
That help? Yeah. Okay. All right, man. God bless.
That was,
okay. That was John. And if you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, folks. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Kyla from Los Angeles. Kyla, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt.
Hi.
Matt. So, Matt, I've always been led to believe, this could just be my own logic, but I've always been led to believe that the promises of God are for believers. You know, people like myself, yourself, people who are believers in Christ, and, you know, as we inherit the kingdom, we get to reap the rewards, you know, by getting His promises. So my question is that I've heard my mother and a few other people give promises to people who aren't saved. And, you know, I pulled my mom to the side before, as well as a few other people that I know. And I said, you know, that's a promise for, you know, for people who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't think you should be telling her that, or I don't think you should be telling him this. And the scripture they give me is that, well, you know, God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. However, that is a scripture in Matthew, but when I went and read that, that was talking about sun shining on farmers as well as evildoers. So are they justified in what they're in the promises of God giving them out to people who I don't believe are believers?
Well, it depends. You see, God has promised eternal judgment to those who reject Christ. Now, what's a promise? You know, a promise is when you say, hey, I promise I'll do this. Or is a promise, that you don't
like
use
healing.
The word
like there's healing available for them. Like they can claim healing from Jehovah Rapha because you know
okay,
Jehovah
hold on,
Rapha
hold on,
is not
hold on,
our
hold on.
Healer.
Hold on, let me work through this, okay? So we have to define our terms first. And so a promise is something that we make. We use the word promise, but it can also mean, you know, that I will do such and such. And that can be a promissory interpretation. So does God do that with the unbelievers? Yes, he does. Judgment, condemnation are some of the things that he said will occur to them. When we want to look at the issues of the things that God is speaking to of the believer, then we need to read them in context. And a lot of times what happens is believers will take verses right out of context and just say applies to us. When God is speaking to Israel nationally, covenantally, and says, I will do such and such, people say, see, that's for us today. No, it's not. And so a lot of people make mistakes. So it just depends on the context of what it is that we're talking about when we look at these issues of the promises. We have to look at each one and see. Now, generically, we call this providential grace, or common grace, actually, is that God is gracious to the unbelievers, not in a special grace way, a saving grace way to the believers. So Matthew 5, 43-48 is what you are referencing. And in there it says, God lets the rain shine, fall on the good and the bad, and the sun shine on the good and the bad. And he loves everybody equally in that sense. Therefore, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Has nothing to do with becoming a God, dear Mormons. Has everything to do with loving people equally. And so that's what it's talking about. So to answer your question, we have to look at what verses are they saying might apply to an unbeliever. And as far as the issue of healing promised to an unbeliever, I don't see anything like that in Scripture. I don't see anything that supports that. Okay?
Unbeliever. What about offering biblical advice on a marriage to an unbeliever? Saying like, well, I think God.
Of course you should.
Well, I believe God can heal. Okay.
That's all I give. When I do marriage counseling to any couple, it's biblically based. And I've done that with unbelievers. I said, look, I've got to tell you, this is how it works inside of marriage. I'm teaching from a biblical perspective because God's wouldn't have made the covenant. Okay. And I go on and I talk to them. So I've had a couple people say, oh, okay, whatever, because I hear I'm a good counselor, and, you know,
got
so
it.
We've done that. But always give biblical counsel.
Well, you know what? Every time I come in, every time I call, that's why I like to call, because every time I call, you give me a really good rebuke. So it always reminds me that I need to shut up, because I don't know as much as I think.
I'm not trying to
I don't know as much.
You.
I ain't smart enough yet. I appreciate that. That's why I'd be like, let me take it to Matt, an apologetic who knows what he's talking about.
Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, I try to give answers. A lot of times people will ask me a question, and I understand the question, and then you go on and expand on the question. I go, oh, but I understand what you're saying, you know. And so, because I've heard so many over the years that, I'll get to it. Let's go, you know. So, but that's it. But please keep calling. Okay.
Okay, I will. Yeah. All right, Matt.
Good for you.
Trust a man named Matt Slick on the radio. All right.
All right. All right. Well, God
bless.
All right.
Bye bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye bye.
All right. If you want to give me a call, folks, it's we've got three open lines, 877-207-2276. Eric from Richmond, Virginia. Eric, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello. Hey, Matt. Glad to have had the time to call in. I saw your debate with Travis. I believe it's Travis Speaks Truth. And
Thank you.
About water baptism. And I've watched your debates with Jesse Morrell, I don't know how many times. I just really enjoy your biblical answers that you give. And I wanted to ask you, why do you think so many people get sucked in to a works-based salvation? And how do we combat that?
They're either not saved or they've been duped and they don't understand what the Word of God really teaches. And, you know, it's natural for us to want to earn what it is that we do. We judge truth a lot of times by our feelings. We judge worthiness by our feelings. And so along with that is the idea that we need to be good in order to please God, because it can't be that it's just an incredibly free gift, that He did everything. Everything necessary. He even gives us the ability to believe. It's so completely perfect in the work of Christ. A lot of people just can't believe it. This is why the cults will come forward and say you're saved by grace through faith after all you can do, or you've got to keep the commandments. You know, faith comes by and not cult, but Roman Catholicism isn't, but it's a false religion, because it teaches in paragraph 2068 of the Catholic Catechism that we obtain salvation through faith, baptism, and the observance of the commandments. So you see, it's a false gospel. So people who are not regenerate will not preach a true gospel, and people who can be regenerate can often not understand the truth and teach something that's false, and then eventually come out of it because they're regenerate and they learn the truth. So what do we do to combat it? Teach the truth, get on the radio, do websites, do podcasts, debate with people all the time, write books. And I think the elders and the pastors of the Christian church need to get on their knees. This is, be careful. Not every single pastor is guilty of this, but there's so many. They need to get on their knees, and they need to confess their sin before God of not properly equipping the body of Christ that they have been entrusted with to teach. And they need to abandon and throw into the refuse heap their denominational preferences and what the denomination says they have to hold to. Just take that and put it down the toilet and flush it. And they should always be faithful to the Word of God. And if they're more concerned with their job and their security than they are in preaching the Word of God, then they don't belong in the pulpit. They need to be able to be to that at that place in the pulpit where they are willing to risk everything for the truth. And if they're not willing to risk everything for the truth, they should not be pastors and elders. And so if people are going to start having the idea that we need the Word of God taught to the congregation, it's not a place for the babysitting of the unbelievers. And it's not a place for the babysitting of the believers. It's for the equipping of the Christians for the work of ministry. That's what the church is supposed to be for, equipping. And you can't do it with a half-hour preaching message on a Sunday. You have to have all kinds of things going forth on a regular basis to equip the Christians, because that's what's needed. And so what do we do about it? Start preaching and teaching the truth. And it needs to start with the pastors and the elders and the churches. They need to get off their lazy rears and start studying the Word of God. Stop with the denominational preferences and start speaking the truth according to the Word of God. And if people leave the church, then let them leave the church, because these men are going to be answering to God. And I know, because I won't give you the details, but this happened to me, and it cost me everything. And I did this. And I had came to a place, and it had to do with the pulpit, had to do with some stuff, and I decided that I was going to not look at my security, but I was going to look at the truth of the Word of God, and I decided to do that. And my wife, I told her, if I do this, we're probably going to lose everything. I don't know what's going to happen to us. I don't know how we're going to survive. And she said, you do what's right before God, knowing that the consequences would be steep, and they were. But here I am. I'm just saying, this is what you got to do. I'm saying, look to me, but you have to have your eyes on Christ. And if you're not willing to preach the truth, predestination, election, the security of the believer, salvation by grace alone and faith alone in Christ alone, not sincerity of heart. Repentance doesn't bring you salvation. Repentance is mere compliance with the law. No women pastors and elders allowed in the church, because it's not their place. People need to stand on the Word of God, get excited about the Word of God, and preach the Word of God instead of babysitting people and leaving them in their diapers and teaching diaperinian theology. There's a break. You want to hold on for after the break?
Yes, sir. That's
okay. All right. Hold on, folks. We'll be right back after these messages.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on the line with Eric from Richmond, Virginia. Eric, welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Matt, for that answer very much. But, you know, pretty much confirmation with me. It's just so frustrating, because I do a lot of street evangelism, and it's amazing. Other street preachers that I've dealt with, they love to spread a false gospel, one that essentially where they say you have to repent of all your sin, then you do the commandments of God, and that makes you right with the Lord.
Right.
Not even
right.
Mentioning the shed blood of Jesus Christ, grace, or faith.
Right.
So it's troublesome to me. It's really bothersome to me. That's why I really enjoyed your debate with Jesse Morrell. Kudos to you for that. And so thank you for doing that.
Well, no problem. You know, there were two things about that debate. I didn't find out till I got there that there'd be no cross-examination period. And that's what I was waiting for, the cross-examination, because I was going to just jump on him like a monkey in a cupcake. And I was going to do that.
The follow-up debate that you did on YouTube, where he was saying you can lose your salvation if you sin one time, that's insane. That's insanity.
He's crazy.
How do you look in the mirror and actually believe that?
Well, these guys are arrogant. When I was there, I can still remember very, very clearly, people were asking me questions. I think it was still on camera. And audience is firing questions at me. And one after another, and things didn't add up with the questions. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. Because when you're in a situation like that, your mind is focused on a couple of areas of thought, and, you know, there's a little bit of tension, and, you know, you're just, and I'm like, wait a minute, something's trying to come through here in my understanding with these guys. And I remember when suddenly I said to myself, they don't know what the gospel is.
No.
It was clear. They don't know what the gospel is. They keep their salvation by their ability to stay good and keep the law and not sin. And I was stunned. I don't know if you saw that part when I all of a sudden started shifting and started preaching the gospel to them.
And you started preaching it. Absolutely. I did. And it's amazing to me because they're negating Jesus Christ as the Savior. It's mind-boggling to me. I don't know how they can call themselves Christians.
Well, they say they believe in Christ.
They say they believe in Christ,
and He removed their sin from them. But it's up to them to no longer sin, and that they don't sin anymore. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You don't sin anymore? They told me, no, we don't sin anymore. You don't. So I say, so you keep the law perfectly on the level of Jesus Himself? And they say, well, yeah. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I said, you can't even see the sin of pride you're just wallowing in.
It's amazing. So I've listened to those debates that you've had just numerous times. And
good.
It's unreal how they just deny faith alone, grace alone.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. But thank you, Matt. I appreciate you taking my call very much. And I appreciate
your
work.
Well, God bless, buddy.
All right.
Thanks,
sir.
Okay. Good. That was Eric from Richmond, Virginia. Let's get over to, John from Salt Lake City. John, welcome. You're on the air. John. I clicked the button. I'm going to give him time. He's probably scrambling right now, reaching for the phone, dropping it in the toilet. You know, just basic stuff like that. Hey, John, are you there? No? Okay. I'll put him on hold. Let's get to Rick from High Point, North Carolina. Rick, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Rick.
Yeah.
Okay, man, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I just got two quick questions. Okay, I know I've listened to you talk about different versions of Bibles to study by, and I get that. And I got all the different versions you talked about. What do you think of the NLT Bible?
You know, I just, New Living Translation, it's from the Living...
New Living Translation.
Yeah, I don't know. I just haven't used it. And see if I've got it. Let me see if I've got it on my list.
I love it. I mean, for me you know? Personally, it's plain English. I study a lot better by that. But like you said, different versions for different people.
Yeah. That's right, and since I'm obnoxious and irritating, I prefer the NESV. So, let's see.
Okay,
the New Living Translation.
One other question.
Okay, here we go. I found it on my computer.
NLT.
So let me go. NLT, and I always go to Romans 5:18. Yes, Adam. Yes, huh? It doesn't say yes in the Greek. Adam's one sin doesn't say that in the Greek either. It says by one man. Okay, so Adam's one sin brings condemnation to everybody. That is true. It doesn't bring it, though. That's a problem. It results in it. It's not bring.
Okay.
And so bring is a faulty translation because of what it actually says in the Greek. But anyway, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Yeah, that is a very watered-down translation. And
Okay.
So yeah, you'll just miss the truth there. Now let's go to Colossians 2:14. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Now that's good. I like that. That is really good. So it gets that very nice, you know. And
let me say something to you. I'm gonna tell you why you're so popular, Matt.
Because I'm irritating.
Because first off, that too. But listen, you're not no holy roller Christian. You're not holier than thou. And that's why you're so popular. I don't do religion. I don't like it. I don't like religious people. Because even in the Bible, Jesus called the priests dogs and snakes. So you're just real. That's why you're so popular, man. I'm serious.
I'm real. I gave up the 3D holograph thing.
I'm telling you. That's one other thing. Okay. I know what you're going to say, but listen. Right. The Bible says, of course, we should be perfect as Christ is perfect. But at the same time, it also says all through the Bible, no one is perfect but the Father. So that's really not contradictory. But tell me the difference. Does it mean when it says perfect, does it mean that as sinners that are saved by grace, we should strive to be perfect?
What it says is what it says in context. So let me go to Matthew 5. And I've known this verse for 40 years because the Mormons use it. And they shred it out of context. But this verse 48 that you're talking about, let me start at verse 43 and just read.
Mm-hmm.
You have heard that it was said, this is the words of Jesus, okay? You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you're to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So what the context is talking about is loving everybody equally. Praying for everybody equally. That's what it is. Not showing favoritism. So when it says be perfect, your Father in heaven is perfect, that's what it means in that context. Okay?
Okay.
It's not about becoming gods. So, it's not about us being perfect in righteousness and stuff like that. Okay. So we got to break. Hold on, man. We got to break. Okay. All right. Hey, folks, we have 4 open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Give me a call. I'll be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. You can do that because, you got to mess up on something here. Sorry, get distracted. Hey, we have 4 open lines, so give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get back on the phones with Rick from High Point, North Carolina. Rick, you're on the air, buddy.
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, okay. And one last one. And me and you, I've heard you talk about this a lot, and I don't agree with you. Then I'll disagree when I go back and forth. And it's concerning women in the pulpit. Now, I get it. Excuse me. But now, I know what you say that Paul says. But then in the version of the Bible I've read, it's Paul said, in my opinion, a woman should not teach or preach. Now, and this is semantics, of course, but if it's his opinion, does it mean that Jesus did not intend for a woman to stand in the pulpit and preach? By the way, I don't deal with that anyway, but I'm just talking about for the sake of clarity.
Where does it say opinion? On this.
One of the verses of the Bible, like I said, when Paul was talking about women preaching, he said it says in that Bible, in my opinion.
I would take that Bible and I would just chuck it. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what does the true word of God say?
The true word of God says an elder must be anermios gunaikos, a man of one woman, period. That's what it says. And in Greek, a lot of people don't know this, but in Greek we have masculine, feminine, and neuter in nouns. So in English, we have words like actress, actor, boy, girl,
right.
wife, husband, and a few words
right.
have gender embedded in them. But in Spanish, for example, I speak a lot of Spanish, nouns have gender. In Greek, they
okay.
have gender. So if there's
okay.
a way to say just a generic neutral, and that's not what's chosen here. What is chosen is the masculine form of the words in reference to elders. For example, the word
right.
for elders is presbuteroi, which is the masculine plural form of the noun. And so this is the thing that's used in the Greek. When it says the elder must be, the presbyteros, masculine singular, must be a anermios gunaikos, a man of one woman. It says that
right.
man, okay, and or a husband of one wife, because the word for man is anthropos, but also anermios kind of means man and husband. So what it's talked about here is the male issue. And, you know, I'll stand on this and I will die on this hill. Because that's what the scriptures teach. Women are not supposed to be pastors. They're not supposed to be elders. They're not even supposed to be deacons. Because the Bible even says a deacon must be a husband of one wife or a man of one woman. And so this is what the Bible says.
Well,
okay.
Well, I heard you say one time that there was another caller that called in. It's like months ago. And he said, he was talking about they have women in the pulpit, and you said you need to find another church. Here's the problem
yeah.
I have with that. Where I live here in High Point, and the faith that I like, and the churches I've been to, 25 to 100, you're not going to find a church or have a church in High Point where there's not a woman sitting in that pulpit. Not one.
Well, then
anywhere.
You know what? I would be glad to fly out there to High Point, if that's the case, and hold a meeting and call all the women pastors there and rebuke them publicly and rebuke the men for their utter, complete failure before the Word of God, before God, to do their jobs.
They will burn you at the stake.
Yeah, they can catch me.
I'm telling you why.
That's okay.
Because
you know what?
Look,
I get bold when it comes to truth like this. This is a serious issue. When women are pastors and elders, within two generations, 80% of the groups and denominations that hold to that also start adopting pro-homosexual theology and stuff like this. Women are not to be in that place of authority. Paul the Apostle said so in 1 Timothy 2:12 and 13. He said that. He said to do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but remain silent, for Adam was first created. He ties it into the created order of God himself. Has to do with federal headship. I would love to have a debate with a woman on this, on women pastors and elders. And I've been challenging women. I've been generic challenges on this for years. Not a single person has come up and said, I'll have a formal debate with you. Let's do it. Not a one. And the reason is because the debate title would be, does the Bible teach that women can be pastors and elders? And they won't agree to that because they know that the Bible doesn't.
Right.
What they're doing
right.
is twisting the Word of God, and they're not believing the Word of God. They are not believing God's Word. The men
right.
are mostly responsible for this debacle of idiocy
of
and heresy because they're not the ones standing up and being men. And why? Because masculinity is toxic. Because masculinity is a bad thing. Because culture is saying masculinity is this. That means men have their eyes on the culture more than they do in the Word of God. They're not trusting the Word of God. They're trusting what the culture says. And I have to be out there and give a good smack down to a lot of men out there and say, you know, get your diapers, get them off, take the apron strings, cut them off, stop acting like little boys, stand up and be men. And
I agree. What I'm about to say is really not going to sound that good when it comes to men, but I'm so sick and tired of these lily livered men in this new culture. In my life, I'm serious. I get criticized all the time. Well, you just old fashioned. You got your beliefs. I don't care. I'm a grown man, and I stand on the Word of God. And if you don't like it, that's your problem. It
that's
ain't my
that's
problem.
Their problem.
That's
your right.
problem.
That's right, bro.
Friday, thank you so much, Matt. Keep going. I love you.
I'm going, man. I'm telling the truth. That's what Jesus
all
wants
right,
me to
buddy.
Do. All right.
All right.
Okay, man. God bless. All right. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Let's get to Ron from Raleigh, North Carolina. Ron, you're on the air.
Hello, Matt. How you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there.
I'm glad to hear that. Did you see the video of the Minnesota situation? Was it?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of it. Yeah, what he did was wrong. Yeah, they did what they did was wrong. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But did you see the video? He's actually just sitting there like it didn't bother him at all.
It was wrong. He shouldn't have just sat there with his knee on the guy's neck like that. They shouldn't. No, come on. He blew it.
Is he possessed? It just scares me to see that. I couldn't watch it.
Well, yeah, I only watched a little bit of it. I saw a little bit, and it's bad. The riots that are happening because of this is it's evil. Those men need to be okay. You know, and this was always is the case that people want to try everybody by the media. They don't know the whole context. If I was on the jury, I'd say it looks bad, but I want to know all the facts. That's how it has to be, and then you judge based on all the facts. But what it looks like, it was excessive. All right, and so this needs to be gone through the courts. But doing this kind of a thing where they riot, that's a problem.
Right.
And I got a question for the blacks and the whites. What does it ever happen that two white cops ever have black cops have a white guy in custody and he dies? Does it ever happen? I'm sure it does. Are there riots over that? If there's not, then it's a racial thing that's the issue. See, we want to have truth. We want to have balance. Now, I'm not saying go out and riot, but the thing, because that's wrong.
Right.
But the thing is, you know, we got to find a balance here and a balance of truth. What those officers did, what I saw from what I saw, looked bad, and it was wrong, and they need to be dealt with. But rioting,
it's terribly wrong.
It's right. That's correct.
And these rioting, they should be honoring this poor man, showing him honor, and out there rioting is not showing this man honor at all.
Well, I view the rioters as an excuse to steal. They want to steal. They break into stores. They steal things. And that's what I look at. And I've seen, I just saw some video today where some good old boys, some white guys were out with guns in front of stores protecting it. And some black guys were out in front of some stores with guns protecting them. Good for both of them. And stopping the rioters from coming in and stealing and causing damage and mayhem. It's just insane.
Right.
It's not an excuse.
Well, my main question to you is, are we, that's just evil. I saw, are we in time for just pure evil? That cop had his hands in his pockets, just like,
it's bad. It's bad. So all I can tell you is what we need to do is pray. See, I was thinking about this a lot today, and I've been thinking about something that Satan said. And I'm getting it's a lot of insight from what Satan said in Genesis 3. When he came up to the woman in Genesis 3:1, he asked, he says, "Has God said, you shall not eat from any tree?" The first thing he did was doubt the word of God. Now, why is that significant? Because he's doubting the very nature of truth itself. What's a problem we have in our country is there's no truth anymore. When you have truth, you have foundations that are built and standards that are built upon the issue of truth. But when relativism comes in, and you can't have any truth, you can't have any foundation of anything, and everybody does what is right in his own eyes. People riot, people accuse, people lie. We have the media that is full of hypocrisy. We don't have truth anymore, and it leads to these kinds of things that we see in the world in all kinds of bad ways. So. Anyway,
most people don't understand it.
We got a break, buddy. Hold on. We got a break.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. We have two open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's see if Ron is still on the line. Ron, are you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All right, man. Okay.
Well, the man's sister lives down here in North Carolina. She's pleading, please, don't riot. Be peaceful. And nobody's listening to her. Nobody's paying any attention. I don't understand that.
I don't get it either. I mean, why riot? You know, you want to show your disapproval, then you peaceably march. That's what you do. And, you know, if you destroy, it doesn't make any sense. You destroy the businesses of people who've worked hard, who've sacrificed, and you're destroying their livelihoods. You're stealing from them, causing damage, especially in light of the way our economy is. These people do this over what a white cop did to a black guy. You know, what I saw, it was bad, and he needs to be brought up on charges. But you don't go out there and punish others for this. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was blatant. It's horrible. And you're saying earlier, you go to church on Sunday, and these pastors are giving, they tell a story about their grandmother. People don't understand the Bible. They're not being taught the Word. And if they were, it would help us a lot.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're right, man. I'm with you. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just getting upset because I just... And don't forget this person. He's a human. Looked like a very nice man, and I'm upset.
Even if he wasn't,
that's true. I agree.
It was uncalled for, you know. And it's just ridiculous. But it happens both ways. I know that. In fact, what I do with cops regularly is I stop them and say, "Thank you for being an officer." I show a lot of respect to the police. I do. I honestly do this. I do. I do it frequently. And they're surprised by it, but they need that. But, you know, we know statistically that a cop and a bad guy, okay, or cop and it's a regular guy who's getting, you know, got a problem, whatever. But it's going to happen. It's black on white, black cops on white guy, and white guy dies. Well, what? Are we supposed to riot for that, too? Because it's just pure racism. But they don't riot for both. They only riot for one. It's a racist issue and an excuse to sin, an excuse to show evil. That's all it is. We have laws, and we need to act in a manner consistent with the laws, and these guys will be dealt with. That's what needs to happen.
Well, I just feel sorry for people to go on Sunday and sit there in church and think they're going to heaven because they don't understand the Bible.
A lot of people don't. But I try and teach them. Yep. That's right.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Right,
I better get off the line. I'm getting upset. I apologize, Matt.
It's all right, buddy. God bless. Okay.
Take care, man.
You too. All right, let's get in the line with Jonathan from High Point. Jonathan, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
I'm driving, but I'll try to be brief. I am from High Point, and listening to the guy a couple of times ago, I was a little stunned by what he said about all the pulpits here are full of women. And I agree with what you're pulling from scripture. I guess as I've waited, I've thought to myself that it's important for us not to trigger each other. I think it's important for all of us to make sure that we're able to do the main job that God gives us to be faithful to our relationship with Him, and then to not trigger each other and work ourselves into a frenzy so that we can't love our lives. Because for us to have healthy churches and a healthy culture, if we're not able to have a healthy relationship at home, because we're frenzying each other up and trying to bolster each other in our manhood and our roles, we're going to come across to our children like we are not the ones who are able to handle the job. And I think to represent God and our families means that we're the ones who are grounded and we're the ones who will stand.
That's right.
When everybody else is falling.
That's right. There's I would recommend in this context of the men stuff, the Red Pill on, I think it's on Netflix. I would recommend people watch it. It's about men as disposable people, and how, in fact, one of the statistics, this is a few years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I guess, when this was done. For example, the homeless shelters, women's battered shelters, right? They have these battered shelters. There's only one for men in the entire United States at that point. And the imbalance of what's going on is a real attack on manhood, going on, and right. men are affected by it.
Well,
so
right, and
the red
and
pill.
Yet, without why that's part of our, I'm sitting right now across from the graveyard where my father's body's buried.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that I've struggled with lately about the things he intended for my family that aren't really coming to pass the way he expected. And to be placed in the role as Jesus demonstrated of the husband, when as his role towards the body of Christ in a servant, a sacrificial servant place is not
that's what's supposed to be. Yeah,
resources.
The man.
But it also, I think it's important for us to recognize that to walk with God means we will get hit, and that we
yes.
have got to be the one to plan on demonstrating care, regardless
right.
of that fact. And so I was.
Well, let me ask you: do you have a question? Do you have a question? Do you have a John?
I wanted to defend my town a little bit because there are many men here who care deeply about walking with God, and what I see is the dysfunction we experience in a culture that.
Well, I'm having trouble understanding you.
Facilitate that, and we have to.
Okay. Hold on. Let me ask you a question. He talked about High Point. You're from the same place. That women pastors were all over the place there. Is that the case?
Well, what he said was that he doesn't know of a pulpit that's not occupied by a woman pastor. And
you?
I totally don't know of any that are occupied by a woman
Oh, okay.
Pastor.
Okay. All right.
So I was a little taken aback. And I, it seems
okay. All right.
That touches a nerve in you, and it touches a nerve in me as well.
Okay.
And what I find is
hold on.
Because we are so threatened by our roles being compromised, that we lose perspective on our role.
That's right. And I could teach on that. I do. All right, brother. Appreciate that, okay? All right, Matt.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. Okay. All right, let's get on the phone with Andrew from Ohio. Andrew, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, the church I go to, my pastor, Alistair Begg, he's one of the best Reform theologians in the country.
Okay.
He actually had a discussion with Dennis Prager, I think it was last year.
Okay.
But and he pretty much put his arm around and took him to school. But Dennis Prager, his first comment was on how, basically, why he's Jewish. And it was, he accepts the Messianic claims of Jesus, but the divinity ones is the ones he has.
Well,
so I guess...
Yeah, I met Dennis Prager, had a conversation with him. I wish I'd had more time. I could have witnessed to him. But he's being inconsistent with the Old Testament. And I could show in the Old Testament deity of Christ verses. They're there. But
yeah.
He's just inconsistent.
I mean, it's there.
Okay.
But I wanted to, like, if I'm ever in that situation, do I go really deep, like, with the threefold office, the ontological trinity, or do you just go with Colossians 2:9, you go with Titus 2:13?
Depends. If you're in the Old Testament talking to a Jewish person, go to Zechariah. I quoted it 100 times. Zechariah 12:10, where it says that God is speaking, they look upon me whom they have pierced, and yet God's one who's speaking. Genesis 19:24, Jehovah will rain fire and brimstone from Jehovah out of heaven, cross-referencing it with Amos 4:10-11. You can go to Genesis 17:1, 18:1, Exodus 24:9-11. Various verses that you have to kind of know what they mean, but you can show an Old Testament believer that there's a plurality in the Godhead, and there's prophetic words about the incarnation that are there as well in the deity of Christ. Okay? I mean, they're there. I need to teach a Bible study on it. I've done it before. I got a lot of Bible study stuff taught, but it just they're on the web someplace on my...
Just in the Old Testament, right? Isaiah 9:6.
Yes. Isaiah 9:6. Yep. Now, he'd be God with us. Yep, absolutely. Hebrews 1:8 is good. It's a quote from Psalm 45:6. Yep. It's true. Okay, buddy?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Okay, man. God bless. All right. Let's get on the phones with Chuck from Greensboro, North Carolina. Chuck, welcome. You're on the air. We've got two minutes.
I agree with your take on women in the pulpit. I'm currently attending Methodist Church, and they have had women in the pulpit, but I don't think Titus 2 is the best place to go for that. I think 1 Timothy 2, and I'll tell you my reasoning. In both places, they talk about putting a man in the position or a person in a position who's above reproach. That seems to be the gist of it, especially in Titus. And there's Paul apparently was single. He said, I wish that you could remain as I am. And there's no reason to think that Timothy was married, because there it talks about don't let him despise your youth. And it kind of sounds like a mama's boy being taught by his mother and his grandmother. So it looks to me like they're pointing to people who would be above reproach in that position. But then when you go to Timothy, he makes it clear and he gives his reasoning why he doesn't allow a woman to teach a man, because of the order in which God created and the order that God created.
Right, 1 Timothy 2, 12 and 13, you cross-reference it with 1 Timothy 5, 17, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, and 1 Timothy 3, roughly 4 through 12. But, I've debated this many, many, many times with people. Women, it's not their place. They're just not qualified to do it, because they're women.
Right.
And
But if you use the Titus 2 as the main reference, then it sounds like then you couldn't have a single person.
I don't use Titus 2. But for that, Titus 1.
Okay. Titus 1, okay, Titus 1.
Okay, Titus 1, because it says in the Greek,
husband of one wife.
It says a man of one woman, or a husband of one wife, right. And woman can't do that.
I agree, but I don't believe that it means that a man can't do it without having a wife.
Right, and I go through that.
In the most stable position.
Right. That's why it says, I say a man of one woman, a man who holds to having one wife, not a polygamist,
right, there you go. Holds
and
there.
It has to be male. Mm-hmm. But the word on there, can, which is what it is there, can mean, or Andre, but on there, it can mean husband, and it can mean adult male. That's what really what it's talking about there. Okay?
Okay. That's what I was getting at. Thank you.
All right.
Just want to make sure I'm on the right track.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You too. God bless. All right. Rick from High Point. Okay. You know, you're going to have to call back Monday because we don't have enough time. In fact, we don't have time for Alan from New York either. Sorry about that, folks. We're just right at got seconds left. So what I recommend you do is call back on Monday, and hopefully we can get to your questions then. May the Lord bless you. I want to let you know that we have 3 online schools on CARM. Please check them out, okay? You can go to the CARM.org website, CARM.org. On the right-hand side of any page, you will see the laptop picture, and all you got to do is go there and click on that, and you can check out the schools. I recommend that you go to the issue of the schools of theology. As far as women pastors and elders goes, you can go to the CARM website and look up Women in Ministry. There's a lot of information there on that, and it's not the place for a woman to be pastor and elder. Okay? That's just the way it is biblically. Men, stand up and stand on the Word of God. May the Lord bless you. Have a great weekend, folks. And by His grace, be back on there on Monday. We'll talk to you then. See you. Bye.